This is the LZR Project, an episodic story series by David N. Alderman. The LZR Project takes place within David's Expired Reality universe and serves as a prequel to the main novels in his Expired Reality series. You can find out more about David's Expired Reality series at davidnalderman.com. Episode number 1. The date is Monday, April 5th, 1998, 10:04 p.m. The location is the suburbs of Lysalis. "Where is David?" Sean Amaru asked. Carrie Green tied her long brown hair back in a ponytail and reshuffled her deck of playing cards before dealing them out across the dining room table for another game of solitaire. "I think he's outside getting some fresh air." "Fresh air?" Sean asked. "He just got here a few minutes ago. Why does he need fresh air?" Heels tapped through the hallway. Sean turned to see his sister Veronica stepping into the dining area wearing a bright blue dress and matching high heels. She carried a black folder in her right hand. Carrie smiled at her. "Wow, you look pretty. What's the occasion?" "There's no occasion," she answered. "I just wanted to look nice for our last day as unemployed citizens of Anera." "A dress?" Sean chuckled. "You wanted to wear a dress for our rinky-dink get-together?" Veronica glared at him. "Why don't you just keep your mouth shut so I can enjoy what I'm wearing for a little while? Now, where's David?" Sean took a sip from his can of grape soda, scratched at the thin line of hair framing his jaw, and shrugged. "Probably outside, moping about." Veronica made her way toward the front door. "I'll go get him." "Geez," Sean said, rolling his eyes. "Don't tell me David is going emo on us again." Carrie stopped dealing her cards and glared at Sean for a few seconds before going back to her game. "It's not nice to say that about him." Sean ran his hand through his dark hair and shrugged. "I don't care. I'm tired. I'm hungry. I want to get this whole stupid meeting over with." "Isn't this your house? Don't you have food in the cupboards or the fridge?" "Nothing I want. I'm in the mood for a nice, juicy burger." "Well, we can all go to Morningstar after this. That would be fun." "Yeah," Sean thought sarcastically. "A lot of fun." David Corbin and Veronica returned from the front of the house. David wore his trademark black leather jacket, the cuffs of which were beginning to wear. Veronica had asked Sean and Carrie to pitch in to buy him a new one, but Sean didn't think it was their responsibility to supply David with a new wardrobe. David had a solemn expression on his face, almost a frown, and it caused Sean to roll his eyes again. "Here we go with Mr. Sad," he thought. Veronica slapped the black folder on the dining room table, creating a breeze that blew some of Carrie's playing cards off the edge of the table. "Hey," she shouted as she reached down to pick up the stray cards. "Time for business," Veronica snapped playfully. "This is the logo work I've been tinkering with for the past few weeks." She opened the folder and slid a piece of paper out, a computer graphic of a black boomerang with the letters LZR running over it in a futuristic-looking font. Sean slid the sheet closer to himself for inspection. "This took you the last 3 weeks to make?" "Sorry, brother, but I have a life outside of this, and my computer crashed halfway through the project." "It's just a boomerang, with letters representing our name, the laser blades on it. That's it." David picked up the graphic and grinned. "I like it." Veronica glared at her brother. "I picked it because a boomerang has always been David's weapon of choice. And if you've forgotten, which you do on occasion, he's our leader. Besides, it symbolizes our decision not to use lethal weaponry." Sean scoffed. "Our decision," he thought. He adjusted his blue tie so he had more room in his collar to breathe. While his sister had voluntarily worn a dress this evening, he had no choice but to rush home after a long day at the bank. He realized with the time it took David to linger out front, he could have changed, but now it was too late. "You don't even know if they're going to do anything with your design or not," he said. "They said they would be using it to inspire their choice for the lobby logo," Carrie answered with a hint of irritation in her voice. "The one on the wall behind the receptionist desk." "You don't even know what this place is going to look like." "Enough," David snapped. "Instead of criticizing your sister, why don't you congratulate her and just roll with the idea? We'll let the people in charge of the office design decide what's going to go up." Sean gritted his teeth. "Whatever." David examined the graphic. "I was thinking we could have the design be made of Silvertech. That way we can get it to glow purple." "I like that idea," Carrie said, shoving the playing cards into their box. "Silvertech is expensive, though." Veronica shrugged. "We're not paying for it." Her response elicited laughter out of David and Carrie. Sean, however, stood up from the table and went to the fridge. He pulled out a beer, which he placed on the dining room table in front of Carrie. Veronica sighed loudly. "Really?" He shrugged. "What? After the incident last week, you put that in front of her?" Sean huffed and put the beer back in the fridge, slamming the door shut in a petulant rage. Damn oversensitives, he thought. What is your problem? David asked. You seem more irritated than usual. We're about to make this thing a reality. We came together with the government to come up with this idea. They're putting their money into the building, into the organization, into everything. My problem? My problem is that this is a stupid idea. I'm getting tired of doing all this work, and for what? Mr. Big terrorizes the city, we chase after him, he constantly escapes our grasp, the government slaps us on the hand for destroying public property, and we give away more of our free time just to repeat the same cycle over and over again. That's why this was put in place, David replied calmly. We join forces with the government so we can work together to put an end to Big once and for all. Sean huffed. It's a bad idea, joining forces with the government. I don't feel all that comfortable letting the government tell me what to do or how to do it. Carrie rolled her eyes. The government governs what we do now anyway, Sean. Veronica slid the graphic back into her folder. Nobody's going to be telling us what to do. We have a police liaison, Ridley, and she'll be the one to decide what orders we follow. Sean slapped his hands on the table. I'm sorry, guys. I just don't agree with this whole thing. I'll go along with it because I feel it's my duty and you're my friends, but other than that, I can't say I'm happy about it. Great, Carrie remarked, her ponytail whipping around as she snapped her head toward Sean. Grumpy Pants over here is in a bad mood. Again. He turned toward her. What did you just say? Calm down, Veronica growled. He narrowed his gaze on his sister. Don't talk to me like that. I may be your brother, but you don't have any right to tell me what to do. Geez, Veronica growled. You have some serious authority issues tonight. Do us all a favor and take them elsewhere if you're going to act this way. I invited David and Carrie over so we could celebrate together tonight, not listen to your griping. The heck with all of you! He stormed past his sister and made his way to the front door. Carrie's voice echoed behind him, calling for him to come back. Not tonight, he thought. Sean left the house and started in a brisk pace down the street, taking a deep breath of the cool spring air as he went. The sun had set hours earlier, and a breeze swept through their street as he walked, calming him down a bit. He wasn't sure why he was in such a bad mood, or maybe he knew part of it. It's because you ditched me tonight, Summer, he thought to himself. He had invited her to join him tonight, and she had stood him up for the third time in the last 2 weeks. What better thing to put one in a bad mood than rejection? The other half of his attitude problem had to be David. He always gets the glory, Sean thought. Always gets things done his way. If we're a team, why does he make the rules? Why is there a boomerang in our logo if none of us, but him, use boomerangs? My sister is always swooning in his direction. Are you kissing his butt, sis, or do you actually have feelings for him? He shook his head. Ridiculous, he thought. David and Carrie have been the century's oldest drama, and there isn't any way that David and my sister would ever get together like that. At least, they better never get together like that. Sean was halfway down the block when he heard movement behind him. He turned and watched a cat fall into a trash can it had been peering into. He chuckled and continued on, glancing around the neighborhood as he went. Most of the houses were unlit because of the late hour, but he only liked it better that way. He wanted to be alone. Sean Amaru? He stopped, unable to immediately recognize a voice behind him. You could turn around. I don't have a weapon pointed at you if that's what you're worried about. He did so. A man dressed in a black trench coat stood on the sidewalk. My name, Sean, is Drather, and I am here to make you a proposition on behalf of a client of mine. What are you talking about? This is a mercenary I've heard about, Sean realized. Drather, a rogue. Dangerous. The man ran his hand through his dark hair. I've noticed that you've had some issues with your little ragtag team lately. How do you know that? He smirked. His face looked like it could be in ads for men's cologne. Chiseled jaw, rugged stubble, messy short hair. I just do. What I want to offer you is a better position and a more admirable association. Sean glanced around the area. There was a small park across the street where the shadows of the trees spread darkness across the grassy area. There didn't seem to be anyone else around. I'm not here to kill you. If I was, you'd be dead by now. Sean glanced around the area again and then settled his vision on Drather. I'm not worried about you killing me. The mercenary smiled brightly. That's why I've decided to approach you with this deal, Sean. You're smart. You don't belong with those delinquents. David and his little team are just running themselves into a brick wall. You won't be able to stop Mr. Big's organization with your efforts. I'm here because my client, Mr. Big, would like to know if you'd like to switch sides. Are you serious? If there's one thing I am not known for, it is my humor. Big promises to compensate you generously for your services. Sean glanced around the area again, wondering what trap lay in the shadows for him. I'm going to have to go with a no on that. Drather stared at him for a moment, his eyes thin and focused. You would be wise to reconsider. Is that a threat? Sounds to me like you're afraid of not getting paid for convincing me to become a traitor. I have better things to do than threaten little boys into doing what they will inevitably do anyway. You really think I'd turn on my friends? I may not agree with the way David does things, but I'm not a sellout. I know what side I'm on, and it's not the one that two-bit criminal is on. You're headstrong and determined to bring violence to Anera, Sean. At least Big believes that. I don't know you well enough myself, but if you have the dark seed within you, it will only grow into something you can no longer control. Believe me. I said no. My client has many interests in mind, Sean. I have only one, money. I have a couple of ways we could do this that end in me getting paid. You can agree to hear Big out, or you can be taught a lesson tonight that you'll remember well enough to take back to your friends. My answer is a resounding no. Very well. Sean heard an engine roar to life in the distance behind him. Without panicking, he turned around to watch a black van coast up the street toward him. The vehicle's paint was chipped and the front right headlight was out. You won't get away with... When he turned back, Drather was gone. Sean took a deep breath and readied himself for a fight. He felt invigorated, unaware he had been harboring a desire to brawl. The van pulled up to the curb in front of the park and stopped its engine. The door slid open with a horrible scraping sound, and two men dressed in black khakis and gray turtlenecks stepped out of the van. One of them, the bigger of the two, slid the van door shut while the other stood with his arms crossed. The driver of the vehicle leaned back in his seat and closed his eyes while he twitched a toothpick between his teeth. You the lackeys that Big sent to teach me a lesson? Sean asked. The bigger of the two men smiled as he pulled a pair of black gloves out of his pockets and slipped them onto his hands. We're going to make a lesson out of you, and then send you back to your friends. Sean noticed something bulging beneath the knuckles of the gloves. Probably brass fillings, he thought. This is gonna suck. The other guy, thin as a rail, slid gloves on also. He lacked three of his front teeth, leaving what looked like little windows in the front of his mouth. I won't go down easily, Sean growled. They both laughed. Oh, we know, the taller man said. That's why this is going to be fun. They started toward him. Sean took a fighting stance, his right arm behind him, his left ready to punch. He figured he would pour the full force of his first strike into the thin goon, maybe knock him back into the van and put him out cold so focus could be shifted onto the bigger goon. A large object suddenly hit the larger of the two men in the head and then toppled to the ground. A wooden boomerang. The man wavered with a dazed look in his eyes before he collapsed to the asphalt. Sean turned to his three friends who were standing behind him. What are you guys doing? The thin goon put his hands up in a surrendering motion. David walked over and retrieved his weapon. Saving your butt, that's what. Saving my butt? Veronica rolled her eyes and drew to her brother's side. We're here to help you. Carrie glared at the thin man. What's going on here? Sean pushed his sister away. Just some of Mr. Big's goons. The thin man put his finger to his ear. Ralph, I need some help. The driver of the van awoke and then took a sweet time getting out of the vehicle. He held a gun in one hand, alternating its aim on all four of the laser blades. I'd put that down if I were you, David said, gripping the boomerang in his hand. The driver laughed. Why? I could kill all of ya right here, right now if I wanted to. Good thing for ya, Mr. Big told me to refrain from killing this evening. Sean rushed the man's stomach as a gun went off and fired into the sky. Sean slammed the man against the van and began punching him in the ribs with both fists. David rushed over, grabbed Sean by the shoulders, and pulled him back. The driver fell to the ground, coughing and wheezing. The thin man continued to hold his hands up. I was just doing what I was hired to do. You could take a message back to your boss, David said. Tell him that we start the LZR project tomorrow, and we're going to take down his whole organization. Sean lunged toward the man, but was caught by his own sister and pulled back toward her and Carrie. The thug opened the van door and began hefting his colleagues into the vehicle. You guys are rich. You really think you can take Big down with the help of the government? You're out of your mind. Big owns the government, you fools. You're working for Big when you walk into that building tomorrow. Might be wise to watch your backs. Once his partners were inside the back of the van, he slammed the door shut and retreated to the driver's side of the vehicle. The van started with a loud roar. Once the van was out of sight, David directed his attention toward Sean. What is your deal? Do you have some obsession with violence lately? Sean broke out of his sister's hold and shook his head. I don't. I just think that Big needs to be taught a lesson, that's all. Keep clocking him and his goons over the head with your little wooden boomerang, and you think that will keep him at bay. It hasn't worked for years now, so when are you going to realize that maybe we need to step things up a notch? Partnering with the government only pulls us further from that goal. We don't compromise just because our enemies do, David said. We have our own way of doing things, and that won't be altered just because you don't think it's violent enough. That's not what I said. I don't think our methods are effective enough. There's a difference. If they're not effective, why don't we change them? David put his hand on Sean's shoulder. As much as Sean wanted to pull away, he gritted his teeth and listened to David. We will win this. You just have to be patient. We will overcome Big and his associates, but we'll do it on our own terms. Sean turned away from his friend, afraid to look him in the eyes. Someday, David, you will see things differently. Well, it won't be today. David started toward the house with Carrie. Veronica approached her brother, her eyes staring up at the night sky. You really need to tone it down. You can't be acting like this when we start the project tomorrow. Sean took a seat on the curb and buried his face in his palms. She has a point. Why was I so troubled this evening? He thought. He missed Summer, for one. Her location was anyone's guess. He would have to forget about her and focus on capturing Mr. Big once and for all. Maybe he would have a chance, once he got his hands on Mr. Big, to kill the man once and for all. Until then, he would have to play by David's rules. He glanced up at his sister. She was still staring up at the sky, her attention seemingly lost on something out there in space. I'm sorry, Sean said. I'll try to keep it together for this. She turned her gaze down toward him. At least do it for me, okay? You don't have to do it for David, or even for Carrie. But I expect you to do it for me. I've looked out for you my whole life, Sean, as you've looked out for me. I need you to trust me. Capturing Big should be our number one priority right now. Once that's done, we can all relax and do what we really want to do. Do you really think David wants to be fighting Inara's criminals his whole life? I sure don't. I want to get my fashion business off the ground. I'm sure Carrie has better things in mind for her life, too. You aren't the only one who wants to put an end to this. I guarantee that. You have a point, he said. She offered her hand to him. Come on, let's go back and finish up this evening with some ice cream. I made sure to get your favorite, Tin Roof. He smiled and grabbed her hand as she pulled him to his feet. Soon, sister, he thought, you will see that all of David's talk of peace and pacifism has only delayed the inevitable. It will be force that will put Big into the ground. Force. Thank you for listening to the LZR Project. If you are interested in reading more of David's Expired Reality series, please check out the author's webpage at davidnalderman.com.